I didn't know what I was getting into. Believe me, I did not know what I was getting into. Since then, the life that I had before that time, the Lord has really shown me. What a miry clay he took me out of. And how I thank him. 3 years after I was born again, from 96 until 99, you didn't see very much food on me. I didn't realize. And in 1999, he picked me up. He shook me up. And he put me back down again. And I didn't really know what he did to me. It took me a while. It took me a few months. And when I was staying in the hospital, that's when Satan came in. And I learned a lot about him. I didn't know much about him before that time. But you see, the Lord wanted me to know that there is a Satan out there. He wanted me to know in a powerful way, because he knew that I was going to go all the way for my Lord Jesus and do and try to do anything that he asked me to do. So he knew that I needed to know. And I just want to stand here. I don't know what else he has in store for me, but I will go anywhere and do anything for him. He has done such a work in me. I just praise his holy name, and I thank him so much. I just thank you, Lord Jesus.
Old things passed away. All things became new. Turn to number 215, and then we'll have another testimony, but this song needs to be first. Took my sins back.
I came to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. And now he is gone, this demon is so glad. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad he took my sins away.
Song needed to be. following that testimony.
Sometimes I grumble and complain because I have to take my kids here and there, and it seems like I'm always on the run. But I heard parents say, pretty soon those days will be gone. And then what? And so we need to really appreciate being able to do things with our kids and for our kids. I have met so many people through having my children that I am very much so blessed, and I can bless other people. So be thankful that you have to run someplace for your family, or I run for my parents. It really changed me after that lady said something, because I'm like, Ryan, do we have to go again? Because I'm always in the move, it seems. But just be thankful what you have now, because it could be gone shortly.
I could fill you in a little bit, but we'll pass. Next.
As long as we're reflecting here, God is so good. And John, I appreciate what you said. Just to be reminded of that. And just the life that he took me out of. And he brought me into his kingdom. He took me out of the kingdom of darkness, he took me into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear son. He made me an heir to his throne. What an awesome, awesome, awesome thought when you've lived in all kinds of garbage. And it's just a beautiful thought. And to be able to cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Even when Pastor said so, even when we were sinners, when we hated him, Christ died for us. When we hated him, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you took me out of the miry clay and put my feet on that solid rock. Jesus Christ, that firm foundation, that chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
How many of you know John 3:16? You're done. I didn't mean to shut you off.
I hope I'm never done.
I'm kind of too quick there.
How many of you know John 3:16? Okay. How many of you know John 3:17? There's one. Somebody want to quote it? But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We miss that one. Too often we miss John 3:17. And sometimes people think, it's a trap. He's going to get me. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
My father, friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. Fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Give me all my grief that's taken and all my sorrows born. Temptation is my strong and mighty tie. I have all for him forsaken and all my others torn. For my heart and mind, he keeps me by his side. Though all the world may strip me and Satan has me strong, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me. For I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, wall of fire about me, and nothing that to fear. With his melody, my hungry soul so fills. And sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face.
Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest. By and by, when the morning comes, when time while.
Well, how many of you would, how many of you would be upset if I called you a donkey? Would you be upset if I called you an ox? We're going to learn some things tonight about donkeys and oxes. So turn in your Bibles, first of all, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. I know it's not Palm Sunday, but it's okay to preach on passages. It doesn't have to fit the holiday, right? John chapter 12, verses 12, or verses 14 and 15. John chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to see that we have been redeemed for a purpose. Help us, Lord, to understand the purpose for our redemption, that we might carry it out, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, believe it or not, the donkey has played an important role in the affairs of men and occupies a prominent place in the Scriptures. It was a donkey that received the great honor of carrying Jesus into Jerusalem as the people would throw the palm branches in a festive parade and shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This was certainly a royal donkey. And perhaps also a redeemed donkey. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 13 we read, "In every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." The donkey in the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding on him, this donkey was, of course, allowed to live. But if the donkey had been firstborn, that means a lamb had to give its life for the donkey. And I pretty much believe that that's exactly what happened here. This was probably a firstborn donkey, and a lamb had to be sacrificed. A lamb had to give its life in order to save the life of this donkey. And now the redeemed donkey was to carry on its back the Lamb of God who was to die for lost men. God ordained that the lamb must die for the donkey. And God has also ordained that the Lamb of God must die for man who, according to Job 11:20, is born as a wild ass's colt. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Only those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb will have the joy of living with the Redeemer. It's God's eternal decree that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or there is no forgiveness of sin. And so in this sense, we are all, each of us, are like the donkey. And each of us has to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. The donkey was redeemed for a purpose. And you have been redeemed for a purpose as well. Every single one of us. God has redeemed us for a purpose. He hasn't saved us just for the sake of being saved, just so that we could say we've been saved. We have been saved, we've been sanctified, we've been set apart, we've been redeemed for a purpose. It was a young animal and a small animal, a colt, that the Lord chose for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the Lord will take you too, even though you might be small, even though you might be obscure, because truly little is much when God is in it. The Lord will take you too, and you will have the great opportunity of carrying the Lord along the path. Take Jesus with you wherever you go. Take him with you wherever you go. Take Jesus with you so that others might get to know him and be blessed by his presence. Take Jesus with you that others might have the opportunity to meet the Redeemer, that others might know him, the Savior, and be redeemed by the blood of the Passover Lamb. Carry the Lamb of God to others. Wherever you go, you must take Jesus with you. That was the purpose of that donkey, simply to take Jesus down that path, down that road. And that is our purpose in life, first of all, upon being redeemed, to carry the Lord with us down the path of life. No matter where we go, Jesus is to be going with us. Now, if you want to go somewhere where you don't feel comfortable taking the Lord, then you shouldn't go there either. If you can't take Jesus with you, you don't go there. But take Jesus with you wherever you go. So we're redeemed, first of all, to take Jesus down the path of our lives. Number one, to take Jesus down the path our life travels. Number two, we are redeemed to be a burden bearer. We are redeemed to be a burden bearer. When Jacob would bless his 12 sons, he said of one of them, Issachar is a strong ass, strong donkey, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. Maybe you want to change your mind if you said you didn't want to be called a donkey tonight. Here is Issachar. He's being blessed by his father, Jacob. The family blessing before he departs from this life. He blesses his sons and he calls Issachar, one of his sons, he calls him a donkey. You're like a donkey crouching down between two burdens. He bowed his shoulder and he became a servant under tribute. What an honor. What an honor was conferred upon this young man. He was a burden bearer, like the donkey is known as a burden bearer. And notice that he had two burdens. Issachar, a strong donkey couching down between two burdens. One was the burden of the people toward God. And the other burden that he carried was God, the burden of God for the people. And a real good burden bearer has those two burdens that they carry. One, they are burdened for, they have a burden for people that comes from God. But they also have a burden that God has provided for people as they want to take these people and present them to the Lord. Two burdens, one of the people toward God and the other was the burden from God for the people. Issachar was willing to bear these loads that others might find rest and enjoy the pleasant land which God provided and still provides for those who walk with him. We read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So you have been redeemed to be a burden bearer, to bear other people's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you bear the burdens of others or do you add to their burdens? Do you bear the burdens of others or do you add to their burdens? Now, I know that there are some times when we do need to let off on people and let them carry and share the burden with us. I know that there are times like that, and I'm not talking about that, but there are some people you characterized as being a load. Which category would you fall in? Are you the donkey or are you the burden? The one that bears the burden or the burden? Now, there's a very celebrated donkey which is mentioned in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 8. This was not a gentleman donkey, but a lady donkey. And the passage reads for us in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, Balaam's donkey, you're familiar with the story, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now, God gave this female donkey a male voice. Why would he do that, I wonder? Why would God give this female donkey a male voice? Peter writes in 2 Peter 2:16 that Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, Peter must have known what he was talking about when he called this donkey a dumb donkey. And then he did. He called it a dumb donkey. Why didn't this donkey, why didn't she speak with a woman's voice? Think about this. No wonder Balaam was frightened. First of all, he has a dumb donkey that is beginning to talk intelligently. And then he heard this dumb donkey who was a female talking with a male voice. I think that would have been enough to frighten anyone. And then this donkey falls down under the weight and the burden of the prophet. But the donkey on which Christ rode did not fall down. It yielded. It submitted to the master and carried him through to the end of his journey. Many of us fall down on the job. Sometimes the burdens do get great. I realize that. And we fall down on the job. God, give us the grace and the strength to stay true all the way to the end. Right? God, give us the grace and the strength to remain true for Him. To be able to carry the burdens in our lives through to the end. Not to falter, not to fall under the weight of the burden. And I believe that God will give us the strength. Because you know what the New Testament says? It says He is able to keep us from falling. Right? Do you believe that? He is able to keep you from falling. And I'm not trying to minimize any burden that anybody might have here tonight. I'm not trying to do that at all. But I just want to encourage you and come along and support you that no matter how great, no matter how heavy the burden is, you don't have to fall under the weight. My God, whom I serve, is able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep you standing. So be a burden bearer. Be a donkey. Be a donkey in that you are redeemed and carry the Lord down the path of life. Wherever you go, take the Lord with you. And number two, wherever you go, be a burden bearer. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And number three, serve the Lord wherever He needs you. Serve the Lord wherever He has need of you. Now we are set free that we might serve the Lord here and there. How often we fail at this too. And so we need God's grace once again so that we can prove true to the end. Now the Bible gives us a picture of unredeemed donkeys. What I've laid out before you this evening is what we are supposed to do as redeemed donkeys. But the Bible also gives us some pictures of unredeemed donkeys. In Job chapter 1 and verse 14, as Job is going through his terrible ordeal, says, "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them." The oxen were working and the donkeys were eating right alongside the oxen. The ox here is a type of the clean Christian, while the donkey is a type of the unclean sinner. The oxen are busy serving their master and producing valuable work for their owner. But the donkeys were engaged in eating up that which the owner possessed and that which the oxen had produced. Here's these oxen producing, producing, producing. And here's these donkeys coming, eating and eating just what the oxen had produced. Right alongside one another. How like the case of the saint and sinner. The believer is working for the Lord. He's producing for the Lord. He's laboring for the Lord. Here comes the sinner, thinking only of self, working for himself. The Christian seeks the good of the master, while the sinner lays up treasure for himself. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3 are these words, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib." Here we find the same truth explained further. The ox cares for the one who cares for him, while the donkey only wants the grub of his owner. The ox has a devotion to his master. The donkey only cares for the master's gifts. The ox seeks the fellowship of the one he serves. The donkey cares nothing for the fellowship, only for the plenty of fodder. Spiritually, we find that the Christian loves Christ while the unbeliever only wants Christ's gifts and blessings. The soldiers at Calvary did not want the Savior, but they gambled for his garments. They did not want him, but what he had. Which of these groups represents you this evening? Would you draw near to the Lord if you had all his gifts? If you had everything that your heart craves? If your lot should be cast and your crib was large and the grain and clover plentiful and your fodder secure, would you still seek the one who was the giver of those gifts? Sadly to say, there are many people, even Christians, who are not so much concerned about a relationship with the Lord as they are in what the Lord has to give to them. They serve him for what they can get out of him, not because they are devoted to him. Heart check, gut check time. Why do we serve the Lord? And if you had everything the world had to offer, would you be here tonight? Simply because you came to worship the Lord. You came out of love and devotion to him. The ox gives, the donkey takes. The ox gives thanks in the restaurant for the food given to him. And by the way, you might be able to get a free meal sometime just by praying in the restaurant. It happened to me once. You know how large our family is? Somebody was so blessed, they saw us bow our heads and grab hands and pray as a family before we ate, that they paid for our meal. Christians can at least do that, right? We can thank God, not be ashamed, and thank the Lord for the food that we are about to eat. Do you act more like the ox or the donkey? Unless the donkey is redeemed. Now, a redeemed donkey does other, acts more like the ox. Number four, speak the truth kindly. You are redeemed so that you may speak the truth. But we have to remember that when we speak the truth, we are to do it lovingly, gently, kindly. Balaam's donkey did not talk like a donkey. She spoke the words of God. She spoke wisely. This dumb donkey spoke words of wisdom. She spoke kindly. She spoke the truth in kindness. And we are redeemed to do just that. You know, there is a delicate balance, but it's so needed to be able to speak the truth, but speak it in love. Speak the truth, but speak it gently. Speak the truth, but not be offensive. This donkey did not find fault with her master. She got right to the point and finished when she was through. What a lesson for all of us. And you know what's amazing to me is that the words of a donkey are recorded in Scripture. Donkeys aren't known for their intelligence. They're not known for their smarts. And yet here is a donkey, the words of the donkey recorded in the Word of God. Something that donkey said was worth saving throughout the centuries. The Lord help us heed the message which says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how to answer every man. I have a little quiz for you here at this point. Do you know what Saul was doing when Samuel came to anoint him to be king? Do you know what David was doing when Samuel came to anoint David to be king? He was tending sheep, right? Saul was out chasing donkeys. Saul had lost the donkeys that were entrusted to his care. He's out looking for donkeys. David's taking care of sheep. I think it's significant that Saul, the first king of Israel, lost the donkeys which he should have kept. David kept the sheep. The relationship between the two men and their animals was a picture of the relationship that they would afterward bear to the people over which they were to rule. Saul acted like a donkey. Saul was selfish. The Bible tells us over and over again, if I give you a king that you desire, a man that you want, he will continually take. He will take, he will take, he will take, he will take, he will take. It was also a picture of them spiritually. Saul himself turned out to be a donkey. David was a sheep. Both donkeys and sheep need to be led. Both of these animals are prone to stray. The human heart loves to wander. Bypaths are better than the highways in the opinion of the ordinary heart. Stolen waters are sweeter in the opinion of many than waters out of their own cistern. Saul's boyhood days were connected with donkeys, a type of the lost sinner. David's boyhood days were connected with sheep, which are a type of the believer. Man is born as a wild donkey. He needs to be redeemed. He needs to be redeemed with a lamb. The Lamb of God redeemed mankind with his shed blood. So man is redeemed. You are redeemed this evening. You are redeemed for a purpose. You are redeemed to take Jesus down the path of life's travels. You are redeemed to be a burden bearer. You are redeemed to serve the Lord wherever he has need of you. And you are redeemed to speak the truth kindly. Once you are redeemed, act more like a noble donkey than a wild mule. Once you are redeemed, once you are saved, act more like the selfless ox than the selfish, stubborn mule. I close with a story of a man born like a wild donkey, but he was redeemed. "Give her some more liquor, boys," the young man said. The poor gypsy woman was already so drunk she could hardly stand on her feet. But the wild and reckless young men were determined to get her even more drunk. "Pour it into her, and we'll get her to tell us our fortunes," 17-year-old Robert Robinson shouted. The others plied her with more intoxicants until she agreed to predict their futures for nothing. "She doesn't know what she's saying. She's drunk," one rowdy exclaimed after she had prophesied that evil fortune awaited him. "You ought to know," Robinson replied. "You gave it to her." Turning to the self-appointed leader, the bleary-eyed gypsy pointed a finger and said, "And you, young man, you will live to see your children and your grandchildren." Robinson suddenly paled and said, "You're right. She's too drunk to know what she's saying. Let's leave her alone. Let's get out of here. Let's go." But her words haunted him the rest of the day. "If I'm going to live to see my children and my grandchildren," he thought, "I'm going to have to change my way of living. I can't keep on going like I am now." So that very night, half in fun and half seriously, he took his gang to an open-air revival service nearby where the famous evangelist George Whitefield was preaching. "We'll go down and laugh at the poor, deluded Methodist," he exclaimed. But the Spirit of God was already at work in the troubled heart and confused mind of the wayward youth. That night, Whitefield preached from Matthew 3:7. "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" The message sobered and frightened him at the same time. He felt that the preacher was speaking to him and only to him. On Tuesday, December 10th, 1755, 2 years and 7 months after hearing that sermon, 20-year-old Robert Robinson made his peace with God and found full and free forgiveness through the precious redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. He later wrote the preacher who had first convicted him of his sinfulness. He said, "I confess it was to spy the nakedness of the land. I came to pity the folly of the preacher, the infatuation of the hearers, and to abhor the doctrine. I went pitying the poor deluded Methodists, but came away envying their happiness." Joining the Methodists and feeling the call to preach, Robinson was appointed by John Wesley to the Methodist Church in Norfolk, England. And there, for the celebration of Pentecost in the year 1858, 3 years after his marvelous conversion, he penned his spiritual autobiography in these lines: "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love." Recalling that Samuel, after a battle in which the Philistine army, an enemy, had been routed, he took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Robinson felt that he should raise a spiritual Ebenezer in his own heart to commemorate the victory of God over Satan 3 years earlier. Realizing that it was only by God's help that he had been saved and dedicated to the ministry, he wanted that symbolic stone to remind him that hither by thy help I'm come. So he wrote a stanza containing these lines: here I'll raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Robinson took the load and the word to various places and even denominations. He was a rare preacher who could say what he pleased, when he pleased, where he pleased. He spoke the truth, but he spoke the truth kindly. He served the Lord through preaching and writing books. He purchased a farm and managed it on the side to provide for the burdens and needs of his growing family. And in the year 1790, at the age of 55, he arrived safely home. May we all seek grace to stay true to the end and arrive safely home to our eternal destinations. I want to challenge you tonight to live the life of a redeemed donkey. Yes, once you were a wild sinner, sowing your oats wherever you felt, but you have been redeemed by a lamb who shed his blood, his precious lifeblood. He gave his life for you that you might be redeemed. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? As we live the Christian life, the longer we live it, the more we realize we need the Lord's help. The more I grow as a Christian, the more I realize I can't live the Christian life in my own strength and power. I need the Lord's help. Hither by thy help I come. And maybe tonight you would like to raise a spiritual Ebenezer in your own heart to commemorate the victory that God has won over Satan in your life. And tonight you realize that you have been saved, you have been redeemed for a purpose. And with the Lord's help, you will fulfill that purpose. You will live the life of the redeemed. You will take Jesus wherever you go. You will be a burden bearer. You will serve the Lord, your master, wherever he needs you. You will not be ashamed of the truth. You will speak the truth, but you will do it with kindness and love and gentleness. If you'd like to raise the spiritual Ebenezer tonight, saying, with your help, Lord, I will live that kind of redeemed life, would you raise your hand up unto the Lord, up to the Lord, your spiritual Ebenezer? Amen. Lord, you see these hands this evening. We thank you that you have redeemed us. You have bought our life with yours. Lord, may we never take it lightly, because, Lord, we owe ourselves to you. We owe our lives to you. And Lord, tonight we raise our spiritual Ebenezers that with your help we will live the life of the redeemed. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Here I am.
interposed his precious blood. For to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather guard my wandering heart to thee. Though to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. I hope you've done that this evening. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Praise the Lord. Father, we ask your blessing upon us as we leave here tonight. Lord, we look forward to the day as we've been singing so many songs about heaven today. We look forward to the day when we will arrive safely home. Lord, we know it's only by your grace. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.